You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 27th of September. Culture Code interview continues with Howell Netto after an interesting day with Epe Udo yesterday. 3 through 10 depth and NBA news as training camps roll. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great. It is a Thursday edition. We often go live on Thursdays, not today. The 8 a.m. live is hard for everybody, and I just don't have a window at another time to do the show today. So I'll try to figure it out, and maybe we'll just start going 8 o'clock live, and people will adjust to that. It is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you inside expertise, geeky numbers on the Utah Jazz. You can get it on Google Podcasts. I have pinned the answer of how to do that on my Twitter. So if you go to Twitter, Locked On Sports, there's a link there. You click on that on any Android device, and you'll get to Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. If any of you are San Francisco 49er fans, the Locked On Podcast Network has launched its first flash briefing. So if you are a 49er fan, there's now an Alexa flash briefing that is Locked On 49ers for you. All right, I have a bunch of things I want to talk about. The Culture Code interviews continue with Howell Netto today. I thought Epe Udo was really interesting, and the thing that jumped out to me in the Netto interview, in the Epe Udo interview, was when asked who he thought was that guy that gave the positive energy, he said himself. And I think that's an interesting point, that these guys on the end of the bench who believe they're good enough to play, impact, and help wins and not getting a chance to do it, have also been put in a culture where they do believe that their time and effort to be positive is of value. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying there is that Udo, and you'll hear the same out of, a little bit out of Netto here as well as some other people, think, you know, clearly they're NBA players. They think they could be contributing. They're not, and yet when asked, you know, who brings the positive energy to the group, Udo yesterday said himself, which is a sign to me that whatever Quinn Snyder has done, these guys believe they're having a positive impact by being a part of the team. And to me, that's a pretty great sign of how a culture's built. That the guys, you know, to some extent, you may only be culturally as strong as your leader, and you may only be culturally as strong as how, you know, your guys getting the least public recognition feel about things. So I thought that was really cool. You'll hear a little bit similar out of Netto. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy and Mazuma USA. It's September to remember at Murdoch and Mazuma. If you are a small business owner between 1 and 5 people and you're not using Mazuma, wait till I tell you more about what they've got going on. Here's something I wanted to talk about. I think the Jazz have a real advantage in what I would call 3 to 10 depth. Now, virtually every team other than the Warriors, maybe other than the Celtics, if they lose 1 or 2, then they're in trouble, right? Like, And frankly, I think in Boston's case, 1 or 2 is Kyrie Irving or Al Horford. And if they lose Al Horford, they're in a lot of trouble. The East was weak enough that they got through last year to the Eastern Conference Finals. But, I mean, if Milwaukee were to lose Chris Middleton, we've seen they're in trouble. If they lose Giannis, they're in trouble. If you lose what we've seen Memphis lose Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, you know, you lose 1 or 2, you're in trouble. We lose Donovan, we lose Rudy, we're in trouble. But 3 through 10 depth, in other words, if the Jazz were to lose, which they will because that's how the season works, at some point in time, other players on the rostered injury, Dante goes down, A.B., Grayson Allen, Howell Netto fill in? Probably pretty well. right? Royce O'Neal goes down. AB slides to a three. And if you need to, Tabo might slide down. Jay Crowder, you know, Jay Crowder and Tabo get interesting because then you got to fill this, some stretch 4 minutes. And we probably don't have a great deal. But George Niang, I think, will turn out to be better than people realize. And frankly, Tyler Kavanaugh might be a little bit better. But let's look at Oklahoma City for a second. So they're 3 through 10 depth. If Patrick Patterson goes down, I don't know who their backup four is. And he's got a knee problem. If Nerlens Noel goes down, I don't know who their backup four is. Their starting shooting guard is Andre Roberson, who, as we talked about yesterday, might not be healthy, which means Terrence Ferguson or Alex Abrines are the next guys. Timothy Luau is like, that's lacking some 3 through 10 depth. Houston. So Brandon Knight is out. Eric Gordon, I guess, will now start, they're talking about. And Carmelo will come off the bench. But so Chris Paul and James Harden are there 1 through 1 and 2s. Eric Gordon goes down. Who's filling that in? Like, what's Gerald Green goes down? James Ennis? P.J. Tucker, I guess it's Marquise Chris. Isaiah Hartenstein, who they picked up in the offseason, kind of a seven-footer, is supposedly in the second-round pick of a year ago in 2017, is supposedly ahead of Marquise Chris in their depth chart, according to Jonathan Fagan. They still have Nene. Like, they have pretty good depth of I just look at these teams. I think Indiana's got very good 3 through 10 depth. So obviously their one is Oladipo. Their two is probably Miles Turner. A little weak there. But Corey Joseph can fill in for Darren Collison. Aaron Holiday will probably be fine. Tyreek Evans could fill in. Doug McDermott's okay. Sabonis, TJ Leaf, Kylo Quinn's really good. Like, Indiana's got great 3 through 10 depth. Minnesota, Denver's an interesting one a little bit. So Denver, I think, you know, Jokic and Gary Harris, to me, are their 1-2. Now, I guess this gets into what we think is going on with Isaiah Thomas, right? He, you know, the latest word is he doesn't have a time frame for his return. So, I mean, if Jamal Murray goes down, they're at Monte Morris and Donald Sloan. If Gary Harris goes down, they're at Malik Beasley. Maybe they don't have as good a depth. Michael Porter Jr. is able to play, then he doesn't have a timetable either. Paul Millsap goes down. Trey Lyles is pretty good. And they're talking about Trey Lyles possibly playing a three, which to me is maybe a sign that they don't have that good a 3 through 10 depth. I think 3 through 10 depth is interesting. I don't think it does you a lot of good in the playoffs. Okay, so I think this is a regular season concept. Toronto probably had the best 3 through 10 depth in the NBA last year. Maybe still. I mean, DeLon Wright goes down, Fred VanVleet fills in. Danny Green goes down, CJ Miles fills in. O.J. Anunoby goes down, Norman Powell fills in. Right? Pascal Siakam, I mean, they're great. And then you add Greg Monroe, Valanciunas. Their 3 through 10 depth is fabulous. But there's 3 through 10 depth I think is really important to get you through the regular season. Dame Lillard, C.J. McCollum go down. Portland's in a lot of trouble. We're about to find out about their 3 through 10 depth. Bo Harkless is talking about his knee not been cleared for 5-on-5 work. He's pretty darn important to who they are. That's, I don't know who takes those, because Evan Turner plays a lot of minutes. So is that Jake Layman? Is he ready? Is it Caleb Swanigan with Al Farouk slipping to the three? That's going to be a big question for them. Are they going super small and playing Seth Curry and just interplaying Turner as a 1 and a 2? Maybe. Now, remember, Curry missed all the 17-18 season. So the Jazz, and I don't think this is just being a homer, but the Jazz 3 through 10 depth is pretty good. Frankly, this is my team, but I think New Orleans is okay other than a point guard. I mean, they have Elfrid Payton, Drew Holiday. So their two guys are Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday. Okay, if they go down, they're in trouble. And if Elfrid Payton goes down, they're pretty thin after that. With Ian Clark, Jared Jack. But they just dropped Drew Holiday there, and then they're sliding Etuan Moore to the two, and Darius Miller and Solomon Hill all play, and Julius Randle plays, and Chuck Diallo plays. And if they get anything out of Jahlil Okafor, then they're in pretty good shape. So their 3 through 10 depth is a little better than everyone realizes. Minnesota's is not. Right? Andrew Wiggins, who's not great, goes down. Kiata Beta Jop or Luol Deng is playing a 3. Luol Deng's a 4. Jimmy Butler decides not to play. Josh Okogie is their starting shooting guard right now. Now, they go trade Jimmy Butler for some depth, and that becomes a pretty solid team. Mizuma USA is here for you as a small business owner. So if you own a small business, 1 to 5 people, Mizuma USA is going to do all of your bookkeeping for you and get your taxes taken care of for you. It's pretty awesome. Call 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102 for a free consultation. Here's how it works. So you sign up with Mizuma. Incredibly convenient, efficient. That one step, you send all your statements and documents to Mizuma. They hook in. You have an incredible easy user dashboard to look at your books. And for $75 a month, you have a CPA that's designed for you, and you have a tax person. Every quarter, they give you a tax update. There's no contract, so you can cancel it any time. So there's no hidden fees. There's one flat rate. It is the greatest system to basically get a CPA and a tax person for $75 a month. 801-980-2102. Call Mizuma USA. Before we jump into all of the Howell Netto and the Culture Code interview series, which I hope you're enjoying, tomorrow is Derek Favors. Then we'll do Get to Know with Grayson Allen Monday, George Niang and Naz on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I never sat down with Tyler Kavanaugh for Get to Know. All right, let's get the latest on Jimmy Butler. So the story yesterday was that he wants to go to Miami from Minnesota. Part two of that was the fact that now the price is supposedly too high, which makes a lot of sense. There's no reason why Minnesota needs to pull this trigger today. Like there, it might feel like it. It might be nice. But the fact is, there's nothing really that Minnesota, other than the, whoever they're going to get in exchange, is not going to be in camp. But there's no leverage point here that makes Minnesota have to make a deal. So they might as well, seeing if somebody else is worried. You know, what you're hoping is that Miami suddenly feels a level of desperation, and they're worried that Brooklyn's going to do something, and what you're trying to avoid is getting to the point where you have absolutely, you know, if Miami suddenly realizes they're the only team bidding for Jimmy Butler. But that seems pretty unlikely. So it makes a little sense that Scott Layden, Tom Thibodeau have this big price tag out there and are saying, you know, unless you meet our price tag, we're not willing to play along. What does get interesting is the idea that's being floated out there that Tom Thibodeau wants to get fired. And so, therefore, he's actually doing this to create a conflict with Glenn Taylor, the owner, and in turn is trying to get fired so he can get paid and get out of there. That's a good conspiracy theory. I don't know if it's true, but it's quite the conspiracy theory. Anthony Davis said yesterday he thinks he's the best player in the world. He might be. I mean, if I'm taking a MVP guess right now, and I'm taking Anthony Davis as the MVP. Now, talking to somebody else, maybe it might have been, I don't want to say who it was, but they're like, no way, because if he really wants to get out and go somewhere else, he's not going to be engaged with the team. I don't know about that. The injury thing with Anthony Davis, he's played 75 games both the last 2 years. Post-All-Star break, he was 30 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists a game last year. True shooting percentage dropped, usage went up. defensive rating was amazing. Pre-All-Star break, the defensive rating was a 105. Post-All-Star break was a 98 without DeMarcus Cousins. I'm telling you, Anthony Davis is the MVP, and the Pelicans are the surprise team in the Western Conference this year. Home court advantage for the Pelicans will surprise everyone unless you're listening to Locked On Jazz. But, I mean, Anthony Davis's February last year, it was 35 points, 13 rebounds, and 2 assists once they got rid of DeMarcus. Well, once he tore his Achilles tendon. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Anthony Davis wins the MVP. Fans, interesting little announcement. All of you are fans, but that was just kind of like, I don't know why I said that. So NBA will announce today a new deal where you can buy a quarter of a game. So you can league pass for $120 for the whole team. I don't know if that gets you the radio calls as well. I'm looking into that. I'm talking with the league about trying to find ways to get your radio broadcast on a smart speaker at home. I feel like that can bring you some nice little stuff if you're interested. There's a lot of things we're working on right now. We'll see if any of them come together. Usually the answer is no. But fans can purchase fourth quarter of NBA games this year. So I guess they're going to make it so you can pay for an individual game for $6.99 through either Turner's BR Live, NBA.com, or the NBA app at $6.99. You also have the plan to purchase pieces of games. A little bit of this is the play to gambling, that if you're betting the first half of a game or second half of a game, you can actually get that. It sounds like it'll be $1.99 for the fourth quarter. Kind of a fun night. Sit around and say, all right, I'm going to spend $10 and watch the fourth. Start with the East Coast games, watch the fourth quarter of two games there. I'm going to watch Central Time, Mountain Time, and Pacific Time. Watch five different games, spend $10. It's a pretty good night. Like if you don't have a family, friends, life, or anything like that, it's a pretty good night. I don't know. Be interesting. It's a neat plan. I mean, what I like is it's customizable to the fans. It gives you a chance to do what you want. I have the league pass. I watch it all and get that. I believe, by the way, the answer right now on Alexa for play-by-play is tune in. For like, if you're a Prime member, it's like $2.99 or $3.99 to that. Well, the league just 1 minute ago just released exactly what I'm talking about. So in my podcast that won't be up till afterwards, the league has just announced this. So let me see what it says. Packages on sale, NBA app. Out of market. All right, so NBA app, including premium options for continuous in-arena coverage during breaks for all out-of-market games, is $249.99. I was not in reaction to that. Traditional NBA League Pass providing access to live out-of-market games, expansive archive of classic games, and all of the radio. They don't mention radio anywhere in here, but I would point out that all the radio is at $199. Team League Pass is $120. Single game is $6.99. Monthly base subscriptions are either $39, $29, or $28. And individual games are $7.99. And end of third quarter, conclusion of the game is $1.99. So pretty much what I said. Kind of a cool thing. Coming up, Howell Neto, Culture Code. See who he says is the guy that uplifts the group, which I think has become the most interesting question in all of this, as well as some other aspects. That's next with Howell Neto here on Locked On Jazz. Make sure that you grab Locked On Fantasy Basketball. They released their Snake Draft mock draft today. If you're a fantasy player, it's a great show. It's actually kind of a fun show, even if you're not a fantasy player. That's at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. So first thing is, it's September to Remember at Murdoch Chevy. That means that you do not have to make any payments until 2019. Let me tell you about the Equinox. So this Chevy Equinox is what I would think is probably called the midsize SUV right now. I'm driving it right now, and I was with my wife the other day, and she said, gosh, when I drive this, I end up going too fast. I said, you know why? It's because it's so well made and so quiet, and so smooth, you don't even feel it going up Parleys or coming down Parleys for us when you suddenly how quick it goes. It's got a great turbo to it. It's got all the safety features. It's got the Chevy has done a really nice job with a very easily manageable touchscreen and all the inner workings inside. And it drives beautifully. It's got good space inside of it. And it does the same. I felt the same thing with the Chevy Colorado truck, that it was just so soundproof and well made that you did kind of get rolling a little bit without realizing it. So Chevy's really done a wonderful job. You know the amazing truck lineup, the Silverado and the Colorado and the big SUVs, the Tahoe and the Suburban. Check out the Traverse with its third row seating and the Equinox that I'm driving right now. It's all at the September to Remember at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross as well as in Logan. You get no payments until 2019. Of course, you also have the Murdoch Guarantee, which is car washes for life. You have safety inspection for life. You have the 5-day price match guarantee, all at Murdoch Chevy. Find new roads at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross and in Logan. With Howell Netto,
at year ended last year, all of you guys talked about the family. What did you mean by that?
I mean, we're really a family. I think NBA season is long. It's a lot of time together that we spend in the locker room, traveling, in airplane, hotels, and this team, I think, has something special dealing with all those traveling, all those times that we spend together, and I think it's something that you can feel on the court. Everybody like each other, everybody feels that we are a family, and sometimes I spend more time with those guys than I spend with my brother or my parents. So it's the family, it's not just the word. I think it's the feeling that everybody has about that team.
You have been on teams where this was not the case over the years. I mean, it just happens. So what happened here? What allowed this to build?
I don't know. I think it's just the people we have. Of course, not every team is the same. Sometimes we have guys that they're not bad guys, but they just like to go by their own, or they kind of selfish, or I don't know. We see all kind of people in this business, you know. And I think this team, we don't have any selfish guy. We don't have any guy that get in the locker room and he's worried about his minutes, or he's worried about he's dressing better than the other one. That some things that you can see in other teams, and we don't have anything like that. You know, we see everybody supporting each other. We see Ricky sign with Brand, and people gonna be happy for him. Donovan going well with Adidas. Everybody gonna be happy with him. Even I'm Nike, you know. And so those kind of things make our team special.
Is there a time, if you look back, where you felt the disconnection happened? Is there anything, moment in time or a process?
I think it was a process. I think it was building from last year. I think Donovan is a big part of that. He's a great guy, you know, and he came as a rookie, always happy, always trying to get everybody together. We have Joe Ingles that it's a great teammate. He's always joking around. Somebody that for a 82-game season, you need somebody like that, you know, that it comes and make our locker room a little happier. We have Rudy that is always worried about winning, like competing, and always talking to everybody about more about defense, you know, somebody that on the court is always talking about. We have Tabo that even being out for a long time, he was always there with us. So I think every small thing counts on an 82-game season with the NBA team. So I think it was something that it grew up during the season, but after December, that was the time we saw that family, you know. We saw that we were struggling, we were not playing well, and then January, we just woke up and say, okay, we are a team, everybody, he got everybody's back, and I think that time we we really realize that we're a different team.
There's a book, this book, Culture Code, that I read, and one of them talks about Danny Meyer, who's a great restaurateur in New York, including Shake Shack. And he was doing an interview, and a plate of food and glasses fell, and he said, "Wait 1 second, I want to watch the reaction." And he's, and the author asked him afterwards, "What?" He said, "I want to see if people rushed with urgency and positive energy to help this person out, or whether people grumbled that, oh, something fell and I have to clean it up." Is there an equivalent to that in basketball in this group, that when something goes wrong, you actually pick up the energy and everyone goes to help rather than, oh, he did that again?
I think so. I think it's, of course, it's not a broken play or a broken cup, but it's something that it's a bad decision in one game. It's a game that we lose because, I don't know, somebody missed a shot. And I think those moments, that's when a real team and a real family is stick together, you know, and we had those moments, we stick together, and that made us better. That made us a better team. That made us a better, better on the goal we wanted, you know. And we didn't achieve the goal we wanted, but we went far. We went farther than everybody expected. And I think that's a good example. I think in basketball, we have those moments that we lose one game, you lose two games, and instead of, okay, it's his fault or it's my fault, everybody, okay, we're a team, you know, it's everybody's fault. Just everybody step up, everybody play better, and we're going to be good. And that's what we did.
There's an element to what you're saying is that you have to feel safe, right? That they talk about inside cultures. You have to feel safe, and you have to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to share. What allows you to feel safe in this group?
I think just knowing everybody got my back, you know. Like I said, when I signed my contract, I feel like even when I'm not playing, I'm a part of this team. You know, I see people worry about me. I see guys, when you play 2 minutes, you play 5 minutes, you score a basket, and you see everybody in the bench, like, yelling, everybody standing up. So that's something special, you know. That's something that you don't see in a lot of teams, and make me feel safe. That makes me feel like, okay, I'm stepping on the court. It doesn't matter if I'm having a mistake, if I'm having a bad game. I know everybody got my back, since coach to the last guy in the bench, you know. So I think that makes me feel safe, and that makes, I think, everybody feel safe in that team.
Is there any single one kind of overreaching idea or philosophy that's communicated to you guys, that you guys all know is the essence of what this group is?
I mean, we've always said that in the locker room, coach started with that this strength of our team is our team. And I think it's something that everybody believed, you know. And what that means for us is that it's not like Donovan going to go out there and play by himself, or Rudy going to go right there and block every shot. You know, everybody needed everybody, and everybody needed each other, and that's how we had our mindsets, and that worked out. That worked out well. We don't have the best players. We don't have the best players in the league, but we have probably the best team, you know, and that's how we got that far last year.
What does Quinn Snyder do as the leader to either allow you to have a voice or at times to admit, hey, my bad? What's his approach in all of that?
He listens to the players a lot, you know. He always want to know how a player is feeling about that play or that defense, and that give us, I think, a level of communication that I don't know. I don't think I have been another team with that level of communication, not only on the court, but out of the court. You see them talking to most more with the guys that play more times, because I think that's how it is. And he's always worried about how the players are feeling on the court. It's not like he's there, okay, you're going to do this. No matter how you feel, you're going to do this. That's what I want. And he's always open for, even for guys that doesn't play a lot, he's always open for what are they feeling about something that we're doing.
I'm going to make it personal about you for a minute. If you, Howell Neto is right here, and you want to go to where? Where are you as a player today? Where do you want to get to?
I want to get as the best player I can. Of course, I want to play minutes. And one thing I put in my head, I want to be one of the best backup point guards in the league. I think that's something I can achieve. I'm not going to be unrealistic and thinking about, I want to be a superstar, I want to be an all-star, because it's hard. You know, in this league, you have so many point guards that are amazing. They're, I'm not saying I won't be better than them because I want to, but I'm just putting a goal that I can achieve, and I think it's reasonable, and I can think about it, and I can go for it.
How about from a team standpoint? We are here. We want to get to here, and what are the obstacles preventing you from getting there?
I think there's a lot of things. I think injuries is the first one, and it's something that we've been working more since last year with all the new people we got around, and that's something that can stop us, and it did a couple times. You know, we have so many guys that can play. You know, it's hard. Sometimes we don't want to talk about it, but in the locker room, it comes out, you know, who's going to play? We have like 12, 13, 15, 16 players that can play, you know, guys that were playing last year, they might not play this year. And I think if we can handle that during this year, it's something we did last year. We didn't have guys that were not playing, that were not happy. Of course, we compete, we want to play, but I think if we can get all the injuries done and nobody get injured, and we can handle those stuff and still be a family, I think we can be pretty good. I think we can beat everybody in this league.
Final one for you. In this book, they talked about a research study where they had a group, and then they planted this negative person in the group. And, of course, you know, the group performs much less well, even though the same brain power, same everything, group task. And then they put this really positive person in who actually never gave a suggestion about anything for the group to do but just had positive energy, and the group performed better. Who is that person? Who is the positive energy person in the Utah Jazz that you think impacts the group in that way?
I think there's not only one. I think I'm a positive person. I'm always there. I'm always working out. I'm always working hard, and I try to never be negative. But I think it's a lot. You know, Rudy's a guy that is always positive. He's always sometimes too much. You know, his confidence is too high that he sounds crazy sometimes, you know. And
you mean like we'll be fine?
Yeah,
like last year,
and we were, you know, and some things that people all shut up, or people that like they don't really believe in, and Rudy's the guy that always. It sounds crazy. Sometimes it sounds crazy for us, you know, and he's a guy that is always there, thinking about winning and thinking about he's gonna be the best center in the league. He's gonna be all star. He's gonna be the best defensive player in the league. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but if he has that on his head, and I think he's you're in the right way, but it's not
so
only him.
Most of those have happened.
Exactly, but it's not only him. We have a lot of guys. Joe Ingles is a guy that brings us up every time. Donovan Mitchell is being amazing, and I think it's everybody. But Rudy is definitely a guy that is always thinking and positive, and has a confidence that it's just special. Something that not a lot of guys have it.
Cool, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to Howell Neto. Hope those are interesting. Again, Jazz Facebook, Locked On Jazz Facebook page. Love your comments. I'll put up the show, and then if you could put your comments and thoughts on what Howell just said, what Epe's had to say, what Joe's had to say. Tomorrow's Derek Favors on the show, so go ahead and grab that. If you're a football fan, Mike Sando is the Thursday guest on Locked On NFL. It's a fabulous show. Make sure you go listen to that now. Have a great day. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.